I think they like you, Steve.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
No place to go, darling.
For our Boston listeners,
goodbye, baby.
2 feet of snow.
Yes, I'm going.
Wow. Third nor'easter in 10 days in the Northeast. Maybe there's some advantages, Dave, to the Northwestern Wildcats not advancing to some far-flung regional.
No.
Yeah, you're right.
No.
With the top six coming up. Also coming up, we want to talk to some kids tomorrow on March 14th when they walk out of school. Tomorrow is National Walkout Day, a 17-minute walkout in a show of solidarity with the kids from Marjorie Stoneman High School in Florida. That'll happen tomorrow. Obviously, we want to see if there are some kids who want to talk about it. So if you're getting up to go to school, or you know, a kid is getting up to go to school and they're involved in this, 312-981-7200 is the number. Eric Bolling used to be a big deal on Fox, and he got fired. In the meantime, he suffered a much greater loss, an incalculable loss, lost of his son to the opioid epidemic. And he's going to be on talking about a partnership he has with the White House to try to deal with the opioid crisis. Can't imagine losing a kid. That's obvious. But as a parent, Bowling will be on talking about that perspective. Coach Q later. Dean, what does Dean have, the flu? What's wrong with Dean?
Yeah, Dean will not be with us today. He caught it from Joe, I believe.
Yep. Intentional.
Why did you wave me off? Does he have something else I'm not supposed to say?
I thought you were going to preview Dean. Oh, I was like, okay. I was telling you Dean's not with us today.
Did Dean have leprosy? We're not supposed to talk about it?
No, I saw you look at the agenda and I was kind of showing you Dean's not with us.
We're going to check in. Speaking of ailments, we're going to check in with John DeCoste.
Oh, good.
And we're going to interview his brand new knee today.
We're going to talk to his knee?
We're going to talk to his knee.
What about the old knee?
It's his first booking.
What about the old knee? I mean,
the old knee's upset.
The old knee just throw him by the wayside.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody is getting new knees lately. Wendy, my cousin's getting a new knee.
Not
today.
Your cousin. Your cousin got a new knee?
Today.
Wait, which cousin?
My cousin Mary Beth.
Mary Beth get a new knee.
Getting a
and
new
I,
knee.
This is how I find out. Do we have a picture of John's new knee? Come on.
What?
He sent you a picture of his knee? Sambri, get out of microphone.
I want to see the scar.
This scar, there's barely a scar. Oh. They put a little pinhole in
yeah,
and then
Wendy's
they just pull the
great.
Knee out.
Yeah. Oh, no. He's got a massive scar. I asked for a picture because we're going to talk to him in the 9 o'clock hour. So kind of like when you have a new baby and CLTV puts up a picture.
It's a little different than that one.
I wanted to show the knee, but yeah. Then I saw the picture of the knee and I'm not sure it's safe for television.
Well, you'll show it to me.
Yeah, it's gruesome.
This is the only thing I've ever had photo approval on this whole show. John DeCoste's knee. Orion later as well.
I'm feeling better too, by the way. Thanks for asking.
I haven't gotten to you yet. They're sensitive, needy. How are you, by the way?
I'm better.
You sure?
Yeah, I guess so.
What was wrong with you?
I have a little sinus thing going on.
Sinus infection?
Probably so.
Yeah.
It's on its way out though. But
you on an antibiotic?
I am now. Yes.
Which one? You got a Z-Pack going?
It's not a Z-Pack. No, it's just I'm allergic to penicillin, so it's whatever the.
Oh, you're a mess then. There's no way to fix you.
I was bad on Saturday, but I'm better now.
Okay.
Ruined my whole weekend.
Now, you live alone. Well, I shouldn't say you live alone. You have your dog. So who took care of you?
My dog.
That is one smart pooch.
I was telling Andre and Dave earlier, I slept for 13 hours on Sunday night, and I woke up and he was eating my leg.
We said it's probably more than he slept the past year.
Yeah, who took him out?
That's why you started eating my leg, Mary.
Get up.
Get up.
Get up.
What else was he doing on your leg?
Yeah. Somebody's going to take me out. It's got to be you. I can't open the door.
Yeah.
But all's good now. You sound like $100.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's $100 isn't exactly over the top.
Getting closer.
Get you a coffee. Yeah. Two coffees nowadays.
What's coming up at 6:30? Top six coming up in a second. What's coming up at 6:30?
Coming up, well, a four-time felon pleading not guilty to a 56-count indictment charging him in the death of Commander Paul Bauer. That story and more coming up at 6:30.
When Karen Conti's on, we should talk about that, because what is the legal machinations of pleading not guilty to a crime you committed?
That's a it's an excellent question.
Because it comes up almost, all the time.
It's almost, I don't know.
I mean, it guarantees
comical,
you you a trial.
Yeah.
And I suppose it could affect your sentence. I don't know, but that's a legal question.
I think that's an excellent question, because clearly that's a juxtaposition here.
Pat, hold on. I want to talk to you in just a second. And before we get to that, let's get to what did you say was coming up? The Commander Bauer thing story. Whew, I'll catch up. Apparently, I'm on delay.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the Top 6 at 6. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60 Minute Men.
Item number one in your Top 6 at 6 is Illinois politics. Criticism of House Speaker Mike Madigan and Cook County Assessor Joe Berrios dominated a final form of the party's big field of attorney general candidates as they sought to display independence from leadership in the final debate. There is something going on, and it started with the 2016 election when the Democrats lost, if I remember correctly, 9 House seats, still maintaining a significant majority, and then eventually in January re-elected Mike Madigan to the speakership for the 1,000th year since the dinosaurs roamed the earth. Well, that would have been longer than 1,000 years ago, but I think you understand. The point being, there is something going on, a movement, a feeling that Mike Madigan's time has come to get out. We'll see how that plays out. Meanwhile, Joe Berrios continues to be sketchy.
Well, as Attorney Aaron Goldstein called him in that debate, Steve, he called Berrios a cancer in our democracy.
That's more than sketchy.
One of the other candidates, Nancy Rotering, also said his office is the poster child for everything that's wrong with Democratic politics right now. And kind of throwing a weird monkey wrench into all of this, he has an opponent in the primary, Joe Berrios. Her name is Democrat. She's a Democrat, obviously. Andrea Ralia.
Mm-hmm.
She was kicked off the ballot.
For?
Apparently, they say this committee met in the basement room of a Cook County office building last week, and they
decided she had to go.
Said that they found a pattern of fraud within her collection of signatures. They didn't think all of the signatures were up to speed, and
this is a
kicked her off the ballot.
This is a Madigan move. I personally know people who have been candidates who have had their signatures decertified by Madigan people,
right?
And then were not able to run.
Now, look how long it takes to put an issue on the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
Look how fast she was kicked off the ballot. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying she didn't deserve to be kicked off, but a group meets.
Well, what do we always say?
The hearing officer signs off on it. The election board says you're off.
Those that make the rules benefit from the rules, so why would they change the rules? And in this case, Madigan's rules apply. That's why he's got to go. And we'll talk more about this at 7:20 in regards to who you might vote for and make America vote again. And let's go live to Dave now, covering your Chicago Bears. Dave, where are you stationed this morning? Oh, there you are. You're right there in front of me in your normal chair.
Yes, I am.
The Bears have a signing imminent?
Well, it appears Allen Robinson.
Oh, wait, you didn't get a duck quack. Quack him. There you go. Now start.
Allen Robinson, wide receiver from the Jacksonville Jaguars, free agent, appears set to sign with the Bears tomorrow. He's very good. He's a big wide receiver. Mm-hmm. He's a big play kind of a guy that they haven't really had.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, they haven't had. I mean, they've hoped. They've set their sights on guys they thought would be.
I like him
Kevin
because
White.
He's a medium and a deep threat.
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
He's got Cochran speed. Oh, no, that wouldn't be good. No, that's not good.
He had a great year, his second year in the league, 2015, 14 touchdowns. Tailed off a little bit the following year. Last year, he tore his ACL on the third play of the season.
But he's been medically checked out?
He's good. Well, I'm sure the Bears have done their due diligence. Mm. And they say he's going to be fine. Okay. And let's face it, he's not the first guy to have to deal with that. But he gives them... he addresses a huge need with this team, and it's a great signing by the Bears.
Say goodbye from your chair.
Reporting live from my chair in the Allstate Showcase studio, I'm Dave Ennett, WGN Sports.
Vladimir Putin has to respond by midnight tonight to Teresa the Hammer May. That's the nickname I've given her because she's much tougher than anybody in our government. There is a former Russian spy who was traded, literally traded, for 10 or 15, I forget the number, Russians who had been jailed in the UK. He was traded. He ends up in the UK, settles in the UK. His daughter remained in Russia. She goes to visit dad in London. Next thing you know, she and her father are found slumped over and dying on a park bench. They had been exposed to a nerve agent. The nerve agent itself is fairly obscure and is made in Russia. Theresa May addressed Parliament yesterday and said, Putin, we know you did it. You got 48 hours to tell me what you're going to do about it. This is an act of war. How do we get involved in this? Article 5 in our NATO treaty says an attack on one is attack on all. So if the UK decides this is an act of war, most extreme example here, and they are going to do something defensively or offensively against Russia, we are treaty bound to go with them. And of course, we stepped up yesterday in the briefing and said, absolutely, it's... Wait, I'm being handed a note
right now.
Sanders, Huckabee, Frusenglaj, and Farfignugan didn't even mention the word Russia.
Mm-mm.
Yesterday.
Nope.
Said we stand with our allies. And?
Mm-hmm.
So Putin has until midnight tonight to respond. Here's what I think is going to happen. He's not going to say anything. And there will be some sort of British attack on equivalent Russian interests.
Right. They say it could be a cyber attack.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, computer virus.
Mm-hmm.
Putin's checking out porn there at the Putin place. Putin place for porn. Next thing you know, he's got a virus on his Apple.
Wait, what?
That whole thing sounded wrong. House Republicans say no collusion between Trump and Russia. Boy, knocked me over with a feather. Sure didn't see this coming. Devin Nunes and his band of idiots stepping up and saying no collusion. Now, the Democrats, led by Richard Schiff, no less partisan, will step up and they'll do a report. The House has zero credibility. None. This is disturbing and annoying and aggravating in a large part because the House Republicans say, look, the CIA, they're new at this. We know intelligence. We're the House Republicans. So they say that the CIA got it wrong. They've got it wrong. They don't know that that Vladimir Putin and the Russians were interested in helping Donald Trump. They don't know that. They don't know any of that. We know. And we say it didn't happen. We're the House Republicans. Sure, you're out there clandestine, out there with the CIA. You're out there risking your life. Sure, at the FBI. You're the premier criminal crime-fighting agency in the world. But you guys don't know.
No.
We know. We're the House Republicans.
Do you need help getting up now after being blown over with a feather?
Knocked over with a feather. Quack! See? President Trump also abandoned a push for comprehensive gun control measures yesterday, saying not much political support. The interesting thing is he's said almost nothing on Twitter. Check his Twitter account for me.
Yeah, check right now.
He said almost nothing on Twitter since last night and yesterday afternoon, partly because Stormy Daniels continues to be a major porn thorn in his side. More on that later.
That's very good, by the way.
A porn thorn?
Yeah. No tweets, by the way.
And then this. The woman who won a $560 million jackpot, one of the largest in U.S. history, again, does not have to disclose her name. You're saying, Steve, we knew this a month ago. It's been finalized by a New Hampshire judge saying it would be, and this is an important precedent, saying it would be an invasion of her privacy. I couldn't be more against this ruling.
Yeah.
I don't know this woman. I don't know anything about her. But I believe if you won we're in show business. It's all about promotion.
$559 million.
If you won $559 million, you should stand up and take a picture with your big fake check to promote the lottery that gave you the $559
million. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What about the anonymous person with the blacked out face and the deep voice?
So have the identity obscured as they stand with the check?
I won. Woo.
right. And it's a little old lady.
Mm-hmm. The shadowing, backlit.
That's your top six at six, isn't it? Of course it is. And we're back in a moment.
That's it!
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
It's called the Enough National School Walkout, taking place exactly 1 month after the Parkland shooting. Organizers claim 2,000 schools across the country have registered to participate. The walkout will last for 17 minutes, 1 minute for each of the victims killed at the Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School.
6:41 now. Let's go to some texters here, then grab a couple of phone calls. 847.
Something happened.
My daughter is senior, and her friends will be walking out of Buffalo Grove tomorrow. Leave it up, Jim. And we totally support her decision. 224, a teacher writes, good morning. Our students are walking out tomorrow. Instead of them leaving the school, they're locking arms in the halls and reading the names of the people affected and wearing the school colors of the school in Florida. That's powerful.
Very powerful.
Our district has worked with students to help them stay safe while they do this tomorrow. And I'd give the school credit, but the school's not listed in the text, but I think it's a great idea. Let's see here. We got mixed up text here as usual. Thank you for our massive technological leap here. We should just have a fax machine in the studio. It'd be faster than dealing with this. Look at as fast as I can here. Meanwhile, we listen to the hits.
Well, Chicago Public Schools say they're going to handle the walkouts on a case-by-case basis. Administrators are not helping to plan it, but in many schools, students will be allowed to take part. However, and this is the key, students who don't return to class after the walkout will be given an unexcused absence. So this is just Chicago Public Schools. Every Illinois school district is handling the walkout.
Wait, they're giving the kids an unexcused absence
if they don't return to class.
Oh, sure. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. So yeah. It's not just a, hey, we're walking out, we're leaving school for the day. This is Chicago Public Schools. Every other school district in Illinois is going to handle it in its own way.
It's totally fair that if you walk out and use it as a reason to go do what you want to do and not go back to school, that you get hit with something.
I would also, check with your school, too, as well, because Aurora East is not allowing the walkout. They're going to have indoor activities as well. Aurora West will allow students to walk out onto the football field only. So these are just a smattering of examples, but I would highly encourage students to check with their school to make sure that they don't get any sort of unexcused absence for doing this.
You would think it'd be a lot of talk in schools about this, right? Mm-hmm. Like they'd have an idea what the plan is. Hey, Pat, what's going on with your family?
Good morning. I'm calling about my granddaughter, Mary Grace Ledspike. She's a senior at Libertyville High School. She helped organize a walk to protest the gun violence on student campus. She's in Model UN. She's in Top Cat. She after school mentors.
Well, this is perfect. We just got Mary Grace on the phone. We'll just make her kid of the week right now. Hold on.
Great.
This is fantastic. What a great lead. hold the line here. Mary Grace, how are you?
Wonderful.
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
You sound like a fabulous young lady.
Oh, she is.
Thanks.
All right, so Mary Grace, you're the kid of the week, just like that. You're the kid of the week. We'll give you some pizza. We'll give you an app gift card just for what you're doing already. But your grandmother started to explain it, but you go forward and tell us what you're doing tomorrow.
For the walkout?
Yeah.
So our school, we're doing it a little bit differently than what the national group plans. With the 17 minutes, we decided that we wanted to do a little bit more and get the students' like personal voices a little bit more involved. So we're actually walking out for a full hour, and at the 17-minute mark of everyone going outside to the football field, we're going to have a 6-minute moment of silence, which is 1 minute for the length of the shooting in Parkland. And so we're expecting probably about 500 students, probably more,
That's great.
And then after the moment of silence, we have about 6 or 7 kids who wrote speeches or poems and decided that they wanted to speak in front of the kids who were walking out. And then we have some kids from the choir performing a song.
You know, Mary Grace, I think you know this, but it's got to be you guys. Sadly, you can't count on the grownups to get this done because the grownups are failing you. And I'm really proud of you and all of these kids who are stepping up and doing this. So this is your moment, and thanks for being one of the leaders in it.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, you hold the line. And Pat, thanks for the heads up on that. Pat, what a good kid she is.
You bet your life she is.
All right. Hold the line, Pat, if you would as well.
I will.
Stand by here. Let me grab a couple more. Ron. Where's Ron? Ron. Your wife's a teacher, Ron?
Hi, Steve. Good morning, Steve.
Hey.
My wife's a teacher in Michigan, and the administration is allowing the students to walk out. But here's the ironic thing that I just came across in my thinking. It's either tomorrow or the next day, the My Lai massacre, 50-year anniversary is
that right?
Wow. And the same rifle, the M16, of course, the AR-15 is without the selector switch for full auto, but it's the same rifle that slaughtered the My Lai massacre. And it is using to slaughter our women, our children, and our theaters, our churches, our schools.
What a nasty, right. what a nasty, ironic moment that is, huh?
Yes, but you know the students. It's kind of short notice, but they should be walking out with the My Lai massacre slaughter scenes, and also put up the American slaughter scenes to really draw the attention.
Well, I think they're doing it. Well, I appreciate it, and good luck to your wife as well. And thanks for the heads up. You know, I appreciate the sentiment, but I think these kids are doing a great job at drawing attention to exactly what should be the focus of attention, because the gutless cowards in Washington refuse to do the right thing. And frankly, what the president put forward on Sunday is nothing close to what he said he would do, and completely pussed out to the NRA like, you know, it certainly hoped he wouldn't. And the governor of Florida, who is somebody I thought would cave, has not caved. Governor of Florida, Governor Scott, actually got tough. Mm-hmm. By the way, there is an urgent plea by police. I've gotten several texts this morning from cops saying, please, this is a security nightmare. Please remind motorists in particular to pay attention if you drive anywhere near schools tomorrow between 10 and 10:20 in the morning, and even after that, because kids are going to be wandering around. And they're probably not going to be all that organized and getting back into the school.
Right.
So heads up with all of that,
you know,
as well.
It's great to talk with, well, our kid of the week, obviously. But all these students have a plan. This is not just a, hey, let's just get up and leave school. They have plans. Some are wearing the school colors, like we said. Some are going to read the names aloud. Some are going to link arms. And then one school I saw as well, they're going to try and meet with some of the state lawmakers and have a few lawmakers, their local reps, come to the school.
Great.
And meet with them after.
Polaris students, there's another texter here. Polaris students form a human peace sign at the corner of Ohio and Sawyer, where multiple gunshots were fired on February 28th during school hours. They are literally taking back their corner. There's a longer text with a sentiment I don't disagree with at all, and that is that students in the suburbs need to recognize that there are kids in the city that deal with gun violence and insecurity and getting to school and getting home every day. That doesn't water down your effort, but know that in some of the toughest neighborhoods in the city, this is a daily occurrence. Downers Grove High School will give students a detention if they walk out. Is that right?
It depends on each school is doing something differently. I don't know.
Be curious to know if that's true, Downers, and what your thought there is.
Plainfield 202 is the one that's going to meet with the lawmakers.
Plainfield 202, you said?
Yeah, someone emailed, okay. Yeah.
And I just want to make sure I didn't miss any texts here. All right. And one cynic says these kids are just trying to get out of class. Okay. Yeah. I think you just heard young Mary Grace. That's an example of the majority, not the minority. Mm-hmm. And again, it's up to the schools to also make sure that kids don't just do that.
Right.
It's not easy for the teachers and the administrators, but I'm not sure whether the detention helps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, figure out a way to facilitate the ability for these kids to have their voice. Let me grab one more phone call, then we'll move forward here. It is Dave. Good morning, Dave. How are you?
Doing pretty good. How are you?
You're a security officer in a school?
Yes, in a private high school.
You feel any extra pressure these days?
Well, yeah, every day. Either way, if you ask anyone who's in it, any school resource officer with the police, they'll tell you that regardless of any shootings going on, they're always going to keep up like as if there were shootings going on every day. My big thing calling in, I just wanted to make sure. I know you just said something that a lot of cops are calling in and reminding that it's a security nightmare and for motorists to keep their eyes open. But also, this is very publicized. And one of our biggest worries is we have a high school down the street who's flat out put the information out there that, hey, at this time, we're walking this route and we're going here. And for you don't know some of the people around here. There's nut jobs that can use that information. And, you know, we worry about these kids. You're putting out where they're going to be, And all you need is one of these crazies who don't agree with what they're doing.
Yeah, well, you know, Dave, that's your nightmare every day, right? And I appreciate the work you're doing, and I appreciate the heads up on that as well. I don't know quite how we avoid it, you know, for it. You got to tell people where they're going to be, but he's not wrong.
Right, I know. There's so many outside factors, mitigating factors to all of this, too. But I think most of them are doing the right thing.
Yeah.
They're planning ahead. They're right. Laying out their plans.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
650, just ahead of Steve one more time. I want to, that's my old buddy, Bill. Bill calls in every year before my birthday because it's his birthday. Happy birthday, Bill.
Happy birthday, Steve. And I want to wish you many, many more. I think you're the, I've been listening to the radio for 50 years, ever since I started driving, because I'm 66 years old today.
Looking good.
And you are the number one DJ in the world.
Well, that's your, nice show of
you. Your show is unbelievable. One of these days, I'd like to come down and meet you and talk to you. But you're the greatest. You and Mary and everybody on the show is great.
Stop. And it's nice of you to say that, but happy birthday to you. Hold on so we can give you a bunch of stuff off the prize list. Give him everything on the prize list and give him the keys to Pat Brady's car, who joins us next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
It is 6:57, and Pat Brady's here. Pat's insisting I open his annual embarrassing birthday present to me on the air, which because you're not going to be around the rest of the week. Where are you going?
I'm going to see my daughter in Barcelona for just a few days. I'll be back.
What's she doing in Spain?
Like every college kid, they get a semester abroad. Now, you and I, Steve, are a certain age. We didn't get that.
I don't know if you know this.
Either.
Yeah, my semester abroad was I went to another county to play football.
That you're going to take you into another college campus.
I bailed hay.
Yeah, and detasseled corn.
Walk beans, too.
Yeah. Dave, you added extra houses on your paper route. That was your semester
abroad. That was it.
Abroad.
Yeah, that was it. I was okay with that at the time. I didn't know any better.
Well, it's cool that you're going to go see her. Is she having fun over there?
Yeah, you know what she really had fun with was the International Women's March. I think the epicenter of that was in Barcelona on Saturday.
Oh, that's nice.
She said that was really...
How nice.
Something to see, yeah.
That's a beautiful city.
A couple of years ago, Pat Brady got me Depends. Remember those?
I do remember those.
You like to remind people that I'm older than you.
Yeah, I know.
By 2 weeks. Is it 2 weeks from today?
It was a long 2 weeks.
What's your birthday? The 28th?
April 8th.
Oh, it's 3 weeks.
You don't even remember.
Wow, 3 weeks.
I was supposed to be born on St. Patrick's Day, so my mom's still mad.
What kind of Irishman are you? So you got me the Depends. What'd you get me last year?
Well, unfortunately, as a joke, I got you a CVS gift card.
And oh, yeah, and I used it.
3 weeks later, had your pulmonary embolus. Once I heard that on the news, I'm like, uh-oh, that's not fun anymore.
This is for your prescriptions.
Yeah, you kind of called that one, didn't you?
Right to the pharmacy.
All right. First off, we have a couple of hats here. Bushwood. Fantastic.
Read the back.
This is Bushwood, the Caddyshack hat. And at the back, it says, really, my life. Some people just don't belong.
Oh, that's awesome.
And a Masters hat from last year.
I saved that from last year.
Very nice.
Nice.
Very nice.
I'm going to put these right here.
You know, that should be well appreciated.
The grill gift that didn't come, I had got you a Trump chia pet.
Oh, God.
Oh, that would have been fantastic. But
I didn't know 2 business days meant 2 days that aren't Saturday and Sunday.
So does the chia pet, have they come up with chia pet technology now where the hair grows in 3 different directions
it grows
at
green.
The same time?
This one grows green.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
All right. And there you go.
Gotta do it.
There you go. Dave, tell everybody what that is.
I can't quite
Andrea,
see it.
Tell everybody what that
it's
is.
It's a denture cleanser.
Yes. Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah, the hair may be gone, but these are still my real teeth.
Well, you know, it's a family show, so I put the Metamucil back and grabbed the denture cleansers.
And then a lovely card, which I'm sure is very emotional.
It's actually, it's a speaking card.
That's sweet. I didn't know guys bought guys' cards.
It's certain guys.
Yeah.
The only reason I do, I'm about 75 rounds of golf in debt to Cochran.
Oh. So,
this is his payoff.
And last year, I go, hey, I'll take you out. We'll go out. We go out to Tamarack. I get to the walk up. My kids took my credit card out of my wallet. I go, Steve, you got any money?
It's like a guy.
Happy birthday.
It's like a guy that goes out on a date and goes, boy, am I embarrassed.
Hey, Andre, you probably know the look like, you little twerp.
Right.
I can't believe you're doing that.
She's seen that
not
face.
Not at all. It was an honest mistake.
Well, thank you, my friend.
Well, happy
it's
birthday.
It's an honor to have you on the
57,
show.
57, no, it's, you're
57 tomorrow.
Friend.
Last day of 56 is today.
Yeah.
Let's not rush it. All right, stand by. More with Pat Brady coming up. I want to ask you about what the House Intelligence Committee, a real oxymoron, did. House Intelligence Committee did last night when we come back here in a few minutes. And then we have Make America Vote Again coming up. And,
yes.
And when we do Make America Vote Again, I want to talk about you explaining to people what they need to do if they're tired of Mike Madigan and they want him to go. How do they vote that? Do they take a Democrat ballot or Republican ballot? You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Never 713, Pat Brady's here from Next Generation Strategies. Pat, a happy participant in the Make America Vote Again campaign. 19% of Illinoisans voted in the 2014 midterm elections, which means 81% of the eligible voters did not. Make America Vote Again means we want more to vote. But a typical question that comes up a lot, Pat, is from the 847. Can anyone explain why voters have to vote using only one party's ballot in Illinois primaries? I think it's totally wrong. Your answer?
We've discussed this for a while. You're not declaring a party. You have to go in and say, I want a Republican ballot or a Democratic ballot or whatever ballot you want. But the purpose of the primaries is for the parties to pick their candidates that are the candidates that will be on the ballot in the general election. There are some states, and this is what I've advocated for, that you can go in and just vote either. You can just get one ballot and you can vote for a Democrat.
It should be an open primary.
It should be an open primary. I think that actually helps parties, and it would help participation. I think it's a great question. I think it's a law change we should make. But right now, that's the way it is. But there is a little... Another thing needs a misperception that people have. There's no such thing as a registered Democrat or a registered Republican in Illinois. It just doesn't exist. The only way you can tell someone's party affiliation is what ballot they pulled in the primary the last time they voted.
We'll get some of these texts about the school and the walkout that's going on tomorrow. Do you have any sense that anything further is going to happen with the White House gun proposal?
Something has to happen, because when you have protests like this at the high school and the school level, legislators will take notice. The one thing I will say, though, here in Illinois, if you want to feel the same kind of disgust for politics that I do this morning, the Democrats threw three bills on the governor and are trying to get him to sign them, and they're making political hay of him not signing them because they're trying to hurt him in the primary versus the governor, who I think is actually taking the responsible position, the position that will best serve the people of the state of Illinois. And the Democrats are making a political game out of a solution that needs to be a comprehensive solution. It needs to involve mental health issues. It needs to involve premises security. It needs to involve gun control. It needs to involve background checks, many things. It's not just three bills that they're throwing at him and trying to make political hay out of it. So I'm more upset with the Democrats right now that are trying to politicize a very important issue than I am with anybody else that's trying to actually come up with a reasonable and workable solution.
That's the Democrats here. Meanwhile, the Republicans in Washington are publicizing it to the highest order by saying we don't need to do anything. You know, the NRA has moved the line. Remember when the IAEA had to continually go into Iraq to try to find Saddam Hussein's nukes over and over and over again? And every time he'd say, oh, yeah, they're over here. And as soon as they leave, he'd start building more nukes. The NRA has successfully done the same thing. They've moved the line where bump stocks now is a major, major concession by them. It's a no-brainer. It shouldn't even be a discussion. Raising the age limit to 21 shouldn't even be a discussion. But if they give ground on any of these, they're going to act like they allowed the earth to move. That's the game.
It is a game, and the NRA has too much influence in Washington, and as Republicans, I think that they need to stand up and come up with a comprehensive plan. It's beyond the gun restrictions. You need an approach to mental health. You need an approach to premises security, the things we talked about here in this state. I don't understand, when you're having protests with high school kids, why they don't get the message that people want something done.
Well, you've said it before, and I think it's absolutely true. Until people are penalized by their inaction, by people showing up to vote, they're going to continue to do what they want to do.
That's what Chuck Todd said on this show many times. Until a Republican gets in trouble in a primary for being too pro-gun, there's not going to be a change. But Was he going to take another school shooting? I don't know. But this one, I have more hope there's going to be something done, because the people that are speaking out, these kids from this high school, I've never seen more articulate 15, 14, 16-year-olds than these kids. And hopefully this catches fire, but something's got to be done.
I think you're going to see a lot of it all over Illinois tomorrow, don't you?
I think so, too. I said to Steve, what these kids do, though, is they have a plan. They have an outline. They know what they're going to do. They're either going to link arms. They're going to, I don't even want to say demonstrate peacefully, if that's even a juxtaposition or not. But then they're going to go back to class. And they want, and in Plainfield, they're going to meet with lawmakers.
Well, I guess what's frustrating to me as a Republican, this to me is an opportunity to lead. And
of course
maybe stand up to the NRA, maybe come up with something that's not particularly popular with the gun base of the Republican Party. But the reality is you're going to win more elections, if you just put it in crass political terms, if you come up with a solution that the majority of Americans want. Yeah, understanding there's a Second Amendment, and we have to deal with that. But it's a bigger problem than just a Second Amendment problem.
Yeah, and the majority of NRA members want changes.
Nobody wants kids getting shot in the face at school.
Right.
Nobody.
But the gutless cowards in Congress refuse to do anything about it.
Because they're afraid of the NRA. There is a
I don't know how your job is more important than a kid's life. I don't get it. And none of these are permanent, 100% life-saving solutions, but they can all make a difference.
I tell you, there's a great special on Nova, on the NRA, in the history of the NRA and how they came to power. And everybody should watch if you want to truly understand how much influence they have in Washington. And
well,
it's scary.
But the arc of change with the NRA. The NRA was a civil rights organization at one point. The NRA was supplying guns for protective purposes to black organizations and groups in major cities in the 60s. The NRA, when it originally started, was a gun safety organization. And now it's come all the way over into let's sell as many guns as fast as we can. And who cares what the consequences are?
Well, along those same lines, the Republican Party used to be the conservative party. And now we have a president that's imposing tariffs. So we've come a long way on both fronts.
It's just embarrassing and ridiculous. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about this with Make America Vote Again. Talk about how you get Mr. Madigan to finally leave his position of power, and the embarrassment of the Republicans and the House Intelligence Committee last night, and what they pulled.
Make America Vote Again today. Mama, vote today and tomorrow. Mama, come on, everyone. Mama, it's democracy, freedom. Do it right here and now.
It's time once again to give away one of these very rare Make America Vote Again hats. Okay, now all you have to do is take a pledge that you're going to go out and find, I want to be fair about this, 300 or 400 people that are also going to go to the primaries and vote with you on Tuesday.
Yeah.
You can early vote through Monday. You're definitely registered unless you've been living in a cave. Mm-hmm. But you can make sure you're registered right up into Election Day.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you can. You can register and vote same day.
All right, so let's go with starting with caller 7, Joe. They can convince you they're definitely going to vote in the primary. We'll put them on the air and we'll let them take the pledge. All right, Pat, so let's say people want to vote to make sure that Mike Madigan's power is no longer Mike Madigan's power and the state of Illinois has a chance of recovering before it's strangled to death. How do they go about it in the primary?
Well, if you're going to vote for a Democrat, you need to ask that Democrat state representative if you are elected, if I vote for you and you win the general election, which they generally do because of the gerrymandered districts, come January. Are you going to vote for Speaker Madigan to continue to be Speaker? There's two votes. There's a vote for the individual state representative, and then there's a vote in January to elect him Speaker. And if they say they're going to vote for him for Speaker or they won't give you an answer, then don't vote for him. Because that's what happens. They say, well, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. Then they all end up voting for him in January.
So get on your rep's website today. Send him an email today and say, I need an answer before next Tuesday. And not answering means you're going to vote for Madigan. And if I don't hear from you that you are committing to not voting for Madigan, I will take appropriate action. That's what you're saying, right?
That's what you have to do. That's one question. If you want true change in this state, you need to ask your Democratic state representatives if they're going to vote for Speaker Madigan to continue to be Speaker of the House.
All right. So what's the upcoming? We talked about this off the air a moment ago. And we've talked about it many times. The head of the Democratic Party in the state of Illinois is Mike Madigan, right?
Yes.
All right. How do they decide that? Who votes for that?
It's their Democrat State Central Committee. they vote for him.
All right. So money rules. Money controls.
Control rules.
Yeah. And
jobs rules. Patronage rules.
Right.
It's old school Democratic power politics.
Point being, if he continues to be the head of the party, then he most certainly would be speaker, wouldn't he?
Nothing changes.
Right.
Because he'll control a lot of the money. He'll control the party apparatus. If he loses that, then I think there's a chance that he would not be continue to be speaker. And that vote is, I believe, 40 days after the primary. So sometime in May or June, whatever that may be.
I don't want to discourage anybody thinking, well, we have less control over that. Because the fact of the matter is you have to execute change in stages, and it's got to start now. The more people you get involved in the process by electing them in Springfield who are against Mike Madigan running the state, the better off this state's going to be. As of right now, the only Democrat I'm aware of who's publicly stated that they're going to stand up to Mike Madigan is Scott Drury.
Right. He's the only one that ever does.
So who else is out there? Who's possible?
You know, as I bang on the speaker, there are some many, many good Democrats in the legislature, I believe. Kelly Cassidy, Greg Harris, Ann Williams. You go down the list of people that are good reformers, good progressives, if you're a Democrat, that want to get things done. But the only one that's publicly stood up to the speaker is Scott Drury. And look what happened to him. He runs for attorney general, and Madigan's minions and his money people throw a real negative, nasty attack at against Scott Drury, who's done nothing but be a public servant his whole life.
And because of that, he is worthy of at least an examination of whether or not you should support him.
Sure. It's tough to do that. He gets ostracized down in Springfield. A lot of people say they don't like him, but he has stood up, and he's one of the few people that's... Hey, there's another guy on the Democratic side, and I'm not saying this because he's Eric's guy. I'm saying it because I believe it. Chris Kennedy is the only one of the governor candidates who's actually spoken truth to power here. He's taken on Joe Berrios. He's taken on Mike Madigan.
Right.
He's taken on a lot of the entrenched interests in the state, taken on a lot of powerful people.
Endorsed by the Chicago Tribune.
Right.
Many papers, including the Tribune.
Yeah. On the Democratic side, if you want reform, Chris Kennedy is the only candidate. J.B. Pritzker is in Madigan's pocket. And Dan Biss, I think you could put in that category, just hasn't been as vocal as Chris Kennedy's been.
So,
but if you truly want change, you have to look at what these people say and do and where they come from. And you look at J.B. Pritzker, the first thing he did is what to get permission from Speaker Madigan to run for governor.
Another facet of this, too, we were talking just before you got here, Pat, was Joe Berrios' opponent, Andrea Raleigh, was tossed off that ballot. She said the fix is in. They met in the basement of a county building. I know there's a process by which you have to go through, and some of the signatures may have been invalid. So they're suggesting voter fraud, but she's saying, hey, the fix is in. I'm running against Joe Berrios, and I'm off the ballot.
Yeah, I'm not sure. You know, there's a process, and as much as I would like to see Joe Berrios lose, which I think he's going to, and I think that also ties back to Madigan and some other issues. There is a process for that. I've worked in that system. Is it perfect? No, but I don't think you just get thrown off the ballot because the system's rigged.
Okay. Another text here says, Steve, I'm not pro Madigan, but I'm concerned about my union and unions if he's not in power. Your thoughts?
The war is not with the governor and trade unions. He is very much pro union because he's pro job. The conflict of interest that we have in this state is the Speaker of the House, the most powerful person in this state, is in the tank with the unions that give him money for his campaigns, and they get favorable contracts. It's public sector. Franklin Roosevelt thought that public sector unions were not a good idea.
They've proven not to be because they've bankrupted every state in the country.
Every state in the country that has the same situation that we have with the over...
And that's not a knock on the people that are members of the unions. It's a knock on the architecture of what the unions do to the state.
Right. It doesn't make sense. It's an inherent conflict of interest. And it was aggravated with Rod Blagojevich, who told the union people in Springfield, people that work for the government, join a union and I'll give you these raises, which he did. So we have 95% of the state workers are now in the unions. I'm not blaming the state workers.
Right.
But when the union won't even agree to a 40-hour work week like the governor wants, or agree to some of the reforms he wants, that why don't we give raises based on performance and not just how long you've been sitting in the chair? And how about giving raises for people that are doing a good job? And the unions oppose that. They won't give the governor anything in any of these labor negotiations. He's the only governor in my lifetime that has stood up to these public sector unions, which are bankrupting the state. But don't be mistaken. It's not an anti-trade union thing. The states that surround us that have put in the reforms that Governor Rauner wants, there actually have been an increase in union jobs.
Yeah.
He wants more jobs for
Your union's not going to go away, and the governor's not going to take away your union.
Conservatives should be, and they were when Reagan was around. We're natural allies with the trade unions.
Right.
We're for job creation.
And I'm a union member. You're a union member.
I couldn't get in.
Wouldn't you like to be a union member, too? Ballotpedia.org for an examination of all candidates. Highly recommended website. We don't know the people at Ballotpedia. We just know that we like their website. All right, let's go to Paul and give away a Make America Vote Again hat. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
Paul, repeat after me and take the pledge. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I state your name.
I state Paul, my name.
Recognizing that Steve is running late again.
Recognizing that Steve is running late, as usual.
And I, too, am afraid of Sandberg.
And I, too, am very afraid of Sandberg.
Will vote and urge my friends to vote, too.
Will vote and urge my friends to vote, too.
Now, please take a break so Sandberg stops looking at me like that.
Now, please take a break so Sandberg stops looking you that way.
Thank you. Oh, by the way, what size head do you have, Paul? We have many sizes of Make America Vote Again hats.
You know, that's a little bit smaller than yours, Steve.
Well, every head is a little bit smaller than mine. Joe just said we're all out of that size. No, we're not. All right. Thank you, Paul. You are now a Make America Vote Again hat winner. We're back with the headlines next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
We've got a long list of problems in this country, none more serious than the opioid crisis. Eric Bolling, a New York Times bestselling author, former Fox News Channel host, has suffered the ultimate nightmare. He lost his son, Eric Chase Bolling. And today, later today, I should say, he's going to be talking with the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, and the President about what he feels needs to be done as a legacy to his son moving forward. And I suppose just trying to put one foot in front of the other. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me on. It's an important topic. I think you're right. There is probably no greater problem facing America, especially our young people, than the opioid crisis that's exploding into an epidemic right now.
Well, I appreciate you having the guts to come out and talk about it. I can't imagine how difficult it is. But why don't you tell me a little bit about your son? What kind of kid was he?
Yeah, it's not guts. It's sheer desire not to have any more parents dealing with what we're dealing with right now. It's been a hell. Great kid. He was a sophomore at University of Colorado. He had done his first year there, and he had wonderful grades. We were really close. He's our only child, and we were all really a very close family. So in June of last summer, I went out there for Father's Day, spent the weekend with him. My wife said, why don't you go spend a boy's weekend? So I did, and I put a bunch of pictures up on Twitter. Everything was great. We had talks. I talked to him, you know, it's Colorado, and you know, marijuana is illegal there. So I had talks about staying away from harder drugs, and I got the, yeah, Dad, I got this. And within a couple of weeks, there was a night we were out to dinner, my wife and I. We had just done a amicable separation with Fox the same day. And that night we went out to dinner to talk about and just enjoy a new chapter. On the way home, about 10:30 at night, my wife is driving and phone rings. And as a parent, a late night phone call you're not expecting is always scary. And sure enough, on the other side of the phone was a young man saying, Mr. Bolling, call Kayla right away. And Kayla was a girl he was dating on and off at Colorado. And I said, what's up? He said, just call Kayla. So I called the number he texted me. This girl, Kayla, answered, and she was crying. And I just went right to it. Steve, I just said, is he still alive? And she said, no. And then my wife, hearing that, we had pulled over the side of the road. She spilled onto the roadway. I picked her up, and we sat on the curb and cried for a good hour, maybe two. No idea knowing how long we did, because at that moment, you go into a place of just complete confusion. You know, I'm a guy who spent most of his life knowing what the next step was going to be. At that moment, you just have no idea what's happening, how it happened, and what to do next. So anyway, the next morning, we took a flight to Colorado, and we did something that no parent... The reason why I'm out here doing this is because of that next morning, I met with a coroner. And it's heart-wrenching, and it's horrible, and it's awful, and no one should have to do that. So President Trump called me while I was in the meeting with our doctor and the coroner out in Colorado, and he said, you know, very nice things. You know, we're worried about you. We're concerned about you. Are you okay? And I said, no, but thank you for calling. And he'd called several times in the next couple of weeks, and that's really how I got involved with the White House. I'll get to that in a second. But the coroner said that it's an accidental overdose. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, well, we have to wait on toxicology, but it looks to me like it's one of these opioid overdoses. And sure enough, a couple weeks later, they called me back and said, yeah, confirmed there's Chinese fentanyl in his system. And likely, probably what had happened was he had taken the Xanax like a lot of college kids do every single day in the country to relax. He bought it on campus, and it wasn't a real Xanax. It happened to be a Chinese knockoff that contained fentanyl, the strength in it. But there was so much fentanyl in it, it actually killed him, and that happened.
And it can happen instantly. Fentanyl is so vicious, and it's not controlled. It's not regulated. It's a street-murdering pill, and it couldn't be more awful. Now, stand by just one second, Eric. I know you'll understand this. We have breaking news. Andrea?
Rex Tillerson, Secretary of State, Steve, is out. He will be replaced with CIA Director Mike Pompeo. So Rex Tillerson is no longer Secretary of State.
Washington Steve. Post reporting that Trump is getting rid of Tillerson immediately, sometime later today, presumably because of their continued disagreements over any number of things. Listen, we'll get back to that in a moment, Eric.
That is some very, very big breaking news. Wow, yeah. Tillerson, he's got his hands full, Mr. Trump. And I'll just tell you very quickly, he called me into the Oval Office, and I've been there probably four times in the last few months to talk to him about certain things, mostly about this opioid issue. And he's on top of it. And as you mentioned, they did a video of our story. They put it up on whitehouse.gov, and it's got something like 20 million views already in about a week and a half. Steve, I did a speech at CPAC couple of weeks ago. And they weren't sure if they were going to dip. Matt Schlapp called me and said, look, I really want you to do the CPAC main stage. And I said, what are you going to, you want me to talk about this? He said, yeah. And I said, it's not CPAC, very CPAC-ish to do. He said, I don't care. It's powerful. So I did it, and the room was packed. But the most important thing was over the next day and a half at CPAC, there were hundreds of young people that would come up to me saying, I'm really worried about this, or I'm clean a year, or I lost my two best friends to opioids. So it's something that young people are very, very worried about. People, I'm 55, people my age are, you know, look at opioids and they think a different thing. When young people hear about it, they're very scared that it's taking them out. It's really targeting them.
Yeah, well, our concern is our kids. You've lived the nightmare, and you're living the nightmare, but our concern is our kids. And what we know is opioids come in many different flavors and directions. It killed Prince. It's killed celebrities right and left. And it can kill you. It's nothing to be taken lightly. So in the interest of not short-selling the story here, what is the president willing to do? I know you're meeting with Sessions and the president later today. What are they going to do?
Well, I actually met with them, with the whole group of them. There's an opioid summit a couple of weeks ago, and it's just all hands on deck. There was nine cabinet secretaries and agency heads, president talking about how they're going to fight the opioid crisis. And there's a lot of money that's going to be spent doing it. I think that's going to be important. They'll stop a lot of the Chinese fentanyl that's coming across the borders. They're working with the Chinese government to shut down these almost meth lab type labs that are so prevalent over there. But also, what we need to do, and this is what I was bringing with that video, is parents really need to understand that your kid isn't too smart or too athletic or too rich or too poor or too white or too black or too Hispanic or too good or too bad or too gay or straight. Opioids are killing kids at an alarming rate, no matter who you are or what your socioeconomic background is. But parents really need to have this discussion and stay on it. If you see any behavioral changes, stay on your kids and find out what's going on in their life, because it will kill you. The not my kid syndrome is deadly, deadly in America. Right.
Denial does kill. I really appreciate the fact that you're doing this. I appreciate you coming on to talk about it. There's no words that any of us can express to ease your pain. I think it's a wonderful legacy to your kid that you're doing this, and you're literally going to be saving lives the more you talk about it. So thanks for coming on.
And you are too, Steve. You are too for having me on. And I understand your breaking news nature of the morning, but thank you for taking some time for this.
I appreciate it. That's Eric Bolling, and again, he lost his son, Eric Chase Bolling, at the age of 19 just months ago. All right, so Steve will cover this at the top of the hour, obviously, but what do we know, Andrea? What do we know, Steve? Was he fired? What do we know?
He was absolutely fired and being replaced by Mike Pompeo. Steve, I know you have more details as well.
Yep, that's what I'll have at 8 o'clock.
All right, so beyond that, we don't have anything more on the story.
Not specifically, but I would bet that this has something to do with Russia and the toxic gas agent and the threat that Theresa May the fight between the ongoing discussion between Theresa May and Putin.
There has to be a discussion behind closed doors if the Secretary of State says we have to take a stand.
Right.
The president says I'm in charge, and they agree to disagree on some level, and the president says you're out. It doesn't make sense on any other level.
Mm-hmm. And Mike Pompeo, again, CIA director, is going to replace him.
Pat, what do you think? I mean, do you see this any other way?
No, I don't. And it's more right at the cusp of having conversations with the allegedly with North Korea on probably the biggest issue, I think much bigger than the Russia problem.
Yeah, not a good time to restart
this. But maybe there's some silver lining here. The new director of the CIA is going to be the first female, Gina Haspel.
What do we know about her?
I only know what I'm reading right here, but she was deputy director. But so that's that's a first. But it's, anything, if you read anything about Trump, and we talked about this for years, him going, and he lives on this chaos. And at some point, there's going to be a price to pay, I believe, the United States in foreign policy and national security and national defense for the chaos, because it's not that should not be run chaotically, if that's a word. And Rex Tillerson is one of the last guys that was there that was rational and sober and sane. And nothing wrong with his successor, I don't think, but we're not really going to have, I guess he has to be confirmed, so we'll have a debate on him, too.
Yeah, but it comes down to the same thing, and that is, since we had this discussion with Trump in the beginning, he has refused to say anything negative in any way, shape, or form about Vladimir Putin. There's a reason he doesn't. We don't know the reason. That's the whole point of Bob Mueller's investigation, if you want to bring it to the finest point that there is. You can fire everybody. It's not going to change the fact that Mueller has to continue to run the course of this investigation, and the outcome will be what it is. But when the United Kingdom, when Great Britain, when our number one ally stands up and says, we're not going to allow London to be a killing field for Russian secret agents, they expect, rightfully expect, that the United States will stand up and say, we're with you.
The scary thing watching this is I don't get the sense that a lot of people think that he ever acts in the interests of the country.
Of course not.
And
that is the thump that's out there.
For all his goofiness and that people accept in him, to me, that's the scary thing. He's not acting in the best interest of the country, and there will be a price to pay at some time for that.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Andrea's been going over the Washington Post story here. What do we, and Steve will have, again, the details top of the hour, but what do we know?
Steve, according to the
Washington... And this is all based on what you may not know if you just turned your radio on. Rex Tillerson, Secretary of State, has been, will be fired by Donald Trump or will announce his resignation, the Washington equivalent of being fired.
Right, and President Trump will nominate CIA Director Mike Pompeo to replace him. Now, according to the Washington Post article, Steve, Trump last Friday asked Tillerson to step aside, and he cut his trip short to Africa Monday to return to Washington.
Well, last Friday was before the UK story and before the Russian hit, so why would it be last Friday? Why would he suddenly decide, and Pat Brady jump in on this, why would Trump decide end of last week?
Probably cumulative effect from a lot of things, but it might have been more related to North Korea in that I think they were at odds on Trump saying, I'm going to go meet with the North Korean dictator, and Tillerson's like, well, slow down.
It was that morning when Trump announced it. I don't remember if it was Friday. Thursday, I think, is when Trump announced it. But Tillerson was overseas and said, we're a long way from negotiations.
Right.
And a few hours later, Trump announced that he had accepted the meeting.
Right. He said talks, not negotiations.
Yeah, and that's the rub on the meetings is these. You need to lay the groundwork for these before you have these big meetings because you want a good result. And there's another argument. Why would we elevate this guy to the stature of having a meeting with the president of the United States, recognizing him as a nuclear power? And I think there are a lot of arguments against the meeting, however politically beneficial it is for Trump. I'm guessing that might have been more. But they've been at odds since the minute he was sworn in.
The story concludes by saying that President Trump is continuing to press forward and is preparing for talks with Kim Jong-un.
And you remember way back when that it was, you know, reported that this Tillerson called Trump a moron.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, I think there was a word before that.
Yeah, there was an F word before that.
Yeah, there was an adjective, a common adjective.
And he never denied it.
Yeah. Another day of the week. Another Trump bombshell is the president. He has the right to replace him. He'll have to be confirmed. And the new director of the CIA will be Mike Pompeo's second there and the first female director. And I don't know her name.
The other part of this is the Vanity Fair story from over the weekend. I don't know if you saw that, where it said that the president is planning a clean reset, and John Kelly could be out, too, by the end of this week.
We're only, how many, 15 months into the administration?
Yeah, he's already had more turnover than any administration ever.
Gina Haspel is her name. Gina Haspel, the deputy director of the CIA, will be nominated to replace Pompeo. And again, as Pat just said, the CIA's first ever female director.
But, you know, the world looks to us for leadership. And if we're in a mess, there's going to be a void that somebody else is going to fill.
And all this comes 12 hours after the Republicans in the House of Representatives issued their BS findings on collusion.
One page.
Ridiculous. Listen, have a great trip.
Thank you, sir.
Let us know how it's going
in Spain.
I'm going
to go there and fight a bull.
Pat's going to Spain to see his kid on a semester abroad, and we'll see you when you get back next week. You'll be on Channel 9 on election night.
All night, wall to wall with Ben Bradley.
Okay.
Happy birthday.
Thanks, bud. Appreciate it. We'll come back in a moment. We'll check in with John DeCoss and his new knee as well as we continue to follow the Tillerson story and the latest Trump earthquake on 720 WGN.
The voice and wake up call. I know that it can only be the Steve Cochran Show.
Well, he's got two good knees. He's got one good knee, though. It's John DeCoss, musical director of the program. You hear his singing there. He's joining us on the phone because he's still on the mend from his knee surgery. How are you?
Hey, good morning to everybody. Steve, I'm doing great. I'm really doing well. This was a great decision.
I'm looking at a picture of this. The picture of your knee that I have here, this doesn't make me want to have the surgery.
Well, actually, which one are you looking at, the knee? Or there's also a photo of about 6 strips of bacon in a pan. Which one are you looking at?
It looks like a Thanksgiving ham. It's a pretty good size scar.
Yeah, and I have to put a glaze on twice a day. it's probably the only negative part, you know, but it's pretty good. It's not bad. No, Mary Sandberg said, we need a photo. And I go, really?
Yeah.
It's horrible. Don't.
Well, and looking at the picture, I can't tell. Are you in your, is that your underwear? What are you standing in there? Is he shorts?
Let me see that picture.
You can't tell if I'm like that cat. You can't tell if I'm going up the stairs or down the stairs.
Yeah, that's it.
That's my underwear. That's my, what do you call those things?
Boxer briefs?
Boxer briefs, yes. Those are my boxer briefs, yes.
So has this been cleared to put on social media?
Well, and I think I could say this. I texted Mary back last night. I said, and by the way, is this a Me Too moment? Because if it is, I suck.
John, I don't mean to bring up the past, but are you talking to the old knee? Is the old knee completely out of the picture?
This is kind of fun. We had an extra bedroom. The knee, the old knee has been staying in there.
Yeah.
And okay. He's okay with this.
He finds a place of his own. Now, the good news here is because I'm supposed to have this surgery, maybe do both knees this year. But the good news is you see an absolute difference in how you feel, and it's only been, 10 days?
Nine days. I felt a difference. Almost immediately, I could not believe it. So even with my walker, my wife makes fun of me. Jimmy the Walker, we call him Jimmy the Walker, and we walk around. I walk around the house, and
is it decorated?
But I'm walking normal.
Yeah, yes, Vandeveld, that's a good point. You should put tassels and things on.
Well,
it.
You can put lights on your walker so you can travel at night.
Yeah,
bells.
That's a great idea.
That's what they do at the home.
Special. Yeah, I know. Jackie bought me a really nice, it's like a carrier / pocket thing that fits right on top.
That's
a little tote.
That is wonderful. And then I have a special dispenser for the glaze that I put on twice.
That's great.
Or tennis balls. You can go old school and put the tennis balls on the front
slide.
Of the walker.
Well, that's a slide.
How silly is this? We ordered those because the slides that were on mine kept falling off. You don't order tennis balls. You order specific balls made for those, which are just tennis balls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just slice open a tennis ball.
But you don't even have to. They're pre-sliced.
Well, couldn't you get the furniture movers, too? The furniture movers and put them on the bottom?
Oh, you know, that would have been a good idea. Oh, I didn't even think about that. The only problem is we don't want to slide too much.
No, that would be bad. So what is your recovery regimen now? Are you getting physical therapy?
I do physical therapy 3 times a week. Mm-hmm. My phenomenal therapist, Nabil, comes in to the house. He's phenomenal. But I do all the exercises on my own on the off days. But I've already been out. What did I have surgery a week ago Monday? Jackie and I went out to Target on Saturday. We went to dinner on Saturday. She couldn't believe it, but she thought I was apparently going to be in an old
an invalid.
Room,
yeah.
Yeah. Yes. I did too, but I'll be honest, I didn't know either.
Is this your left or your right knee?
It's my right knee, so I can't drive.
For how long?
Well, I don't know at this rate.
Can you tell how I'm taking notes on all
this?
Yeah,
I can tell. Mm-hmm.
I know.
Because you're concerned about his well-being.
Yes, I'm very concerned about John.
Yeah, it sounds like it. No, we have talked about this many times in the Tahoe. So,
White lightning.
Oh, look at these two. Look at these two.
I was wondering if you guys would like,
of course, we're hanging on every word, John.
Thank you, Dave.
Well, when will you be able to make it back to the Allstate Showcase studio?
Next week. I'm coming in next week.
Yay! All right.
We should have a party for your new knee.
We should.
We should throw a party for his new knee.
Should we have it for John?
John DeCoste dance party.
As the person that books the show, I have not authorized a visit from John next week.
Sorry, John. We would have loved to have seen you.
So you got to clear that hurdle.
That would have been fun.
Well, I've been talking to John off the air quite a bit about this, and I knew he'd survived, and I lost $20 in the bet. But congratulations to you and your good knee. Are you going to get the other one done?
Well, I am, but, you know, you were talking about you might possibly have both knees done this year. It's 6 months between knees.
Mm.
Wow.
But here's something we haven't talked about, Steve.
Mm.
I realize now that my left knee is, even though it's bad, it's not as bad as I thought.
Oh, the one that haven't done yet. Oh, yeah, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm like, okay, it's not, because it's taking most of the, you know, the weight on this point, but although I'm walking around like there's nothing to it, so.
It'd be good if you got a kick scooter now.
Yeah.
You know, where you could speed, you know, just.
Oh, just, yeah.
Yeah, because you can kick with your good leg now.
Well, I've got, this is horrible, I have soccer tomorrow.
Oh, no.
What are your chances of joining the Rockettes? Better than ever?
Oh, my God, you're so funny. I auditioned Saturday.
Okay.
This is how good I did the climb on Sunday.
Oh, you did.
I thought that was you.
Yeah,
wow.
You whipped by us.
That is impressive.
Then my team, I came up with a team at the end to cause the disappoint. I did, it was pretty good. I think I raised $4,000. It was $4,000 per step.
The DeCoste disappointments.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Perfect. Listen, congratulations to you and all your appendages. And we're glad you're feeling better. And it sounds like quite an endorsement for knee surgery. Even if your knees are good, consider having them done.
Wait, say that again?
I said to the audience, even if your knees are good, think about having them done.
Oh, yeah, just do it. It's so much fun. It is so much fun.
Oh, my God.
All right, man. Hold on. You've won nothing.
Thank you.
That's John DeCoste, listener.
He sounded great.
Sounds pretty good,
And the whole thing
good.
With the knee, I think it's all worked out.
It's 8-20, you know.
The old knee, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, and you got to go to a good doctor. You can't have it done at Costco.
Mm-mm.
You know what I mean? It's 8:20.
Sure.
Well, you know, not unless you want to buy 12 or 15 knees at a time. You know, you got to get them in bulk.
All right.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
I got a new girlfriend. Feels like he's on top. And I don't feel no.
/8:25. Dean's off today. He's got the what does he have? Has he got flu? We don't know what he's got. He's got something.
What he has? He's under the weather.
Yeah, so he's sick. This is the time of year when everybody's sick. Yeah, everybody gets something. Everybody's feeling blah.
Yeah.
Now, there's not a lot of show business news out there today.
No, there's not really not.
So, there is a TMZ story about the old host of Blue's Clues wanting his job back.
Oh, I remember
Steve
this show.
From Blue's Clues?
Yeah.
Funny thing is, he looks like he's bald now. it happens to all the Steves. All right, at 8:26, since we don't have a lot of show business news, I don't know where else I could tell you this story, so I'd like to bring this to you because it's a great story. An amazing woman. Hard story to read, but an amazing woman. There are millions, over a million, that's how you get to millions, of women, teenagers, and children who are the victims of sex trafficking in India today, right now. Imagine that number. There's a woman who is trying to end it, Sunitha Krishnan, story in the New York Times yesterday, and I would highly recommend you read it. As a matter of fact, we'll post it to @Cochran Show on Twitter and Steve Cochran Show on Facebook. For over 20 years, Ms. Krishnan has led an organization she started called Prajwala. It's an organization that rescues women and children from sex traffickers across India. The stories are horrifying. There's a couple here I don't even want to talk about. It's just so horrific. But in rescue facilities, girls are fed, educated, and trained to work as welders, carpenters, any profession that will help them make a living and support themselves. Over the years, the complex that she runs has been attacked again and again and again. She has been beaten up, threatened with being killed, harmed again and again and again. She's 4'6" tall.
Oh, jeez.
Don't mess with her.
Mm-hmm.
She's saving the women and children of India from sex trafficking, literally one at a time. Ms. Krishnan's reputation has become so widespread that furious traffickers and pimps have her on must-kill lists because she is taking money from them by saving these girls.
Oh, wow.
The Prajwala shelters are the one place that allows these girls to transition from the life they had to the life they'll have. And it's not easy when they come in at first. They don't trust anybody. And Krishnan has been spit on, attacked, and hit by the women she saved.
Yeah, because they're scared, probably.
Of course. She has been assaulted no less than 17 times. At one point, she dodged somebody who tried to throw acid on her.
God.
She witnessed the murder of one of her staff members by a group of pimps. And again, at 4'6" tall, and with a bad back and most of her hearing gone in one ear from one of the incidents, she's not quitting today, tomorrow, or any other day.
She is a hero for helping all those girls.
20,000 women and children have been rescued by this 4'6" dynamo so far. Mm-hmm. Ms. Krishnan said Prajwala has been able to keep tabs on 86% of them. 86%. How about that for a success rate? Now, the other 14% have either gone back into the system or they've lost touch for whatever reason. But 86% successful in that country at this time? That's just unbelievable. So it's a great story. We will post this on Twitter at Cochran Show and Steve Cochran Show on Facebook. And with all the just terrible political news, it's a story that's not easy to read, but it will make you feel better about humanity after you do, knowing she's out there. Let's take a break. We'll come back. You can do the headlines, Connor?
I am, yes.
All right, your headline ready?
I'm very ready, yeah. Interesting information about this whole Rex Tillerson story.
Yes, more on that in case you're just turning your radio on. Rex Tillerson has been fired by Donald Trump as Secretary of State. Andre with details ahead on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Hey, Adam Hall.
Hi.
Can you give us any insight into the plan for Thursday?
Not really.
What can you tell us about Bear Jones and... Is he ready if he needs to be?
Ready for what?
Coach Fox, we hardly knew ye.
I think that needs to be refreshed.
Well, we can't really refresh it until Adam Hogue asks a question that annoys the new head coach. Well, by the way, I'm getting rave reviews on. Talking to people who should know off the air, who don't want to go on the air in case they're wrong. But a lot of very positive things about Matt Nagy, the new head coach of the Chicago Bears, who have apparently made a deal or are about to announce a major acquisition. Or Adam Hogue, have they already announced it?
It won't be announced until tomorrow at 3 o'clock when the new league year starts. I think technically, guys, they're not even supposed to come to agreements on money yet. But so don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. But the Bears have an agreement with Allen Robinson, who I consider the top wide receiver option on the free agent market. This is a great signing for the Bears.
All right. So Dave was talking about this earlier. A couple of major injuries. How do we know he's not going to break?
Well, fair question. I think what you point at as a good thing is we're talking about an ACL, and while those do knock you out for the year, generally in today's medicine, they're one of the easier injuries to come back from without long-term consequences. So my understanding is that the rehab's been going great. I don't think the Bears would have given him a major contract if there were any issues. Don't necessarily know if he'll be ready for the early mini camp coming up next month, but for sure we're talking about 100% full go by training camp, which is what you want. And there's really no other signs of their, like Kevin White, for instance, his bones keep breaking, and it's happened over and over again. That's something you're worried about. One ACL tear, it happens to, it almost seems like the majority of NFL players these days. And so beyond that, when he's been healthy, he's been incredibly productive, 1,400 yards a couple seasons ago, catches a ton of footballs. He'll instantly become the Bears' number one option.
And this instantly makes Mitch Trubisky that much better because he's got a key guy to throw to, a primary target, a go-to guy. They haven't had that since Alshon Jeffrey left town. And even then, you know, there were some times where, let's face it, Jeffrey had his ups and downs during his time in Chicago. He obviously had a great year in Philadelphia, but or certainly a great Super Bowl. But, you know, Adam, I think Bears fans are over the top over this, and I think it's legit. I mean, I think they've had enough rough years, and I think they have a legitimate reason to be excited about this.
And this was the one guy. Ryan Pace has been so measured in his approach and avoiding giving huge money to free agents, but there were a few reasons, and I was on with Justin Kaufman last night, and I outlined this, why I thought Allen Robinson made a lot of sense for the Bears, and Ryan Pace to, for one time, throw a ton of money at a guy. Biggest reason is Mitch Trubisky. They had to get him somebody. This is where you break the bank a little bit. But also, he's 24 years old. He's still really, really young and has upside, assuming that knee's okay, which I think it is. And while we are talking about a lot of money, this isn't one of these ridiculous six-year contracts where a guy makes $100 million. We're talking about 3 years. We'll see when the numbers actually come out, but it looks like somewhere in the mid-40s. So this is, it's a little bit more than you're paying Kyle Fuller right now. It's not a huge deal, and it's a position that you needed to upgrade more than any other position on the team right now.
I think as far as concern about injuries, I think that Sammy Watkins, who was considered, you know, maybe the other option out there at wide receiver, who's going to Kansas City now, he had more of an injury history than Robinson does. Robinson had the injury this year, but Watkins had a bunch of them.
Yeah, Watkins has more of these, what John Fox used to call owies. John Fox would always say, owie or injury. Injury was legitimate. There's really nothing you can do about it. Owies are what Alshon Jeffrey kept dealing with, right, that they got annoyed with. So Watkins has had more of these smaller things. And even when he's been healthy, one of the reasons why I like Robinson more is when they're both healthy, Robinson's been the more consistent player, whereas Watkins has had up, and he only had, 39 catches last year while he helped the Rams a lot. That's really low production to be paying a guy that much money. So I think the Bears made the right move here, getting Allen Robinson. He was the top target for me, and I think this is a home run signing. When usually I'm the guy saying don't throw a lot of money at free agents because usually you end up regretting it.
When would he be trotted out for us to have a chance to poke at him and see if he's the real deal?
Are you talking about just as a press
meet
conference?
Meet the media, that kind
of thing. Yeah, probably Thursday, I would guess, is when we'll get a press conference. That's usually when the Bears do it, the day after the signing is official.
You're not literally going to poke him.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, with a stick.
Don't poke the
bear.
Poke
him with a stick.
No, don't poke the bear.
Poke his knee and just make sure it's okay?
Yeah, just make sure he's all right. Okay. Here's the other thing that is always a concern of the modern athlete. What kind of a locker room guy is he?
Yeah, another reason, I can't say I know Robinson or Watkins well yet. I, don't know them, but from just doing the homework I have over the last month or so, got better reviews on Robinson than Watkins, and this is another thing that Ryan Pace has shown he cares about a ton. is character, other than the Ray McDonald signing, which I think turned out to be a learning experience for him early on in his GM tenure. So I don't think he would have thrown a ton of money at a guy that's a problem. All the reviews on Robinson are good, and that goes back to his Penn State days too. The scouting reports coming out of him out of college were all positive in that regard.
And I think to have a guy who kind of gets it, that one of the things he said prior to this presumed deal with the Bears was that he appreciates the history of the franchise and the history of a football city like Chicago. Yeah, and it's good to get guys like that who understand what they're getting into here.
Yeah, sure. And I think that they try to drill that into those guys when they meet the media for the first time, it seems like. But look, I think...
Well, you know, Brandon Faber is one of the best media relations guys in any sport ever. So if he learned that from Brandon, great. But that's also something you have to care enough to deliver.
Sure. But here's what I think is also an important development. I love the history of the Bears. I'm a little bit more concerned about the current state of the team and what makes them attractive right now. Why do guys want to come here? Because the past few years, the Bears have dipped in the high market of free agency a little bit, but not been able to land the top guys. Mitch Trubisky changes everything. Would Allen Robinson have signed here a year ago when they didn't know what was going on? Well, Mike Glennon's going to be your quarterback? Who's going to be your quarterback? I think he changes things. I think Matt Nagy changes things. And I think, at least offensively right now, defensively, the Bears were already a little bit of a destination because people respect Vic Fangio. They know who he is. Now we're starting to see that on the offensive side. So I think for this current state of the franchise, that's a very positive thing.
Here was the quote, Robinson to ESPN. I like what Coach Nagy did from an offensive standpoint in Kansas City, being able to see what he did in KC, being able to know he's an offensive minded coach, and seeing what he's done before helped me. So that's, you know, that's what he's looking for.
And speaking of what you said off the top here about Nagy's reputation, I spent a lot of the Super Bowl week just talking to people around the league, interviewing the assistants on the Eagles too. No, I couldn't find someone, and some of this was off the record too. Could not find one guy to say a bad thing about him.
Yeah.
You know, I tried. I was trying not to expose the guy or anything, but I was trying to do my homework and dig on this guy a little bit, and everyone loves him. So I think even though he's young, that reputation's starting to carry around the league a little bit, and that always helps.
Can you imagine if the Bears had, forget about the wins and losses for a second, but if the Bears had a likable, successful head coach and a franchise quarterback? Come on. When? Never.
No.
Sid Luckman? When?
Well, never.
No.
That's exactly right. Nice work by you, Adam Hogue. By the way, plug your Sports Central.
Yeah, Sports Central today, 1 o'clock, and we're going to do a Hogan Johns takeover of it. So you're going to get a mix of the podcast and Sports Central. It's going to be all Bears for the whole hour.
That's Adam Johns. Adam Johns,
Adam Hogue.
Adams, it's the two Adams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's adorable.
Never heard that word used in that context.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Coach Q, sponsored by Hooters, the original wing joint. Wait, it wasn't Coach Q, Steve. It was Adam Hogue. This is the Coach Q spot.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to make sure our friends at Hooters get their plug. Hooters, the original wing joint, today sponsoring the Adams.
I'm confused.
Be cool if they had the two Adams and an apple. Huh? See? Not my first day.
I see what you did there.
By the way, someone's birthday's coming up. We still need to find that Hooters gift card.
Is somebody making cake?
I'm not.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Rex Tillerson just walked by going, from working for Trump. The new Secretary of State, I assume there'll be a confirmation hearing tomorrow, the next day, the day after that?
For Pompeo, yes.
And now, would his confirmation for CIA, would it transfer?
I don't know. I think it might, actually.
You know, he's already confirmed, so can he just switch cabinet positions?
That's a good question.
I think any Senate-confirmed cabinet member can replace another cabinet member without further confirmation. Could be wrong on that, but I think that's the rule.
Well, it makes sense, kind of, right?
Yeah, because the rumor was that he was going to replace somebody else. I can't remember who it was. And the discussion then was, he's already confirmed. Already been confirmed. You can do that.
I'm just glad he didn't name Eric. New Secretary of State Eric Trump. Texters from a bit earlier this morning, we were talking about the walkout tomorrow. Most schools are working with kids to do this walkout, so it'll never happen again tomorrow, to shed light on the fact that high schools are unified, not just in saluting and remembering those killed and wounded at Marjorie Stoneman in Florida, but also to recognize the future and gun safety in schools. So most schools.
Yes.
Most schools are working with kids. I'm disappointed in a couple of these, though. Here's a couple more text. 630, Downers Grove High School, students participating in the walkout get a detention before or after school or Saturday morning.
Yeah.
You know, listen, you got to make decisions for your own school, but this is beyond important, and kids are sending a message that adults don't have the courage to send. I would hope that most schools would work with these kids.
Right. Glenbrook High School also says that they're considering the walkout an unexcused absence.
847, I'm excited to see all the young people mobilizing. I think this generation is sending the right message. Thank God for them. However, nothing is truly going to change unless everybody goes out and votes in the primaries and the general elections. I don't know why more people aren't out there. Good for you, 847.
Absolutely. And just a side note on this, too, Steve, like we said earlier, Chicago Public Schools will handle the walkouts on a case-by-case basis. They say that many schools will be allowed, students will be allowed to take part, but a caution, if they don't go to class after the walkout, they will be given an unexcused absence.
Yeah, which is fine. Yeah. Makes perfect sense.
And every school district in Illinois is handling the walkout in a different way. I would highly encourage students participating to double-check.
Check your local listings.
Yeah, to check with the teachers and the school administrators to see if they're supporting it or if they'll be penalized for it.
Let's do this. Break. We're back with the news in a moment. 9 o'clock hour, and CLTV joins us next on 720 WGN.
It's called the Enough National School Walkout, taking place exactly 1 month after the Parkland shooting. Organizers claim 2,000 schools across the country have registered to participate. The walkout will last for 17 minutes, 1 minute for each of the victims killed at the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School.
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children. What's that?
I was just a little kid when the hippies, as my father and my mother and, you know, their friends called them, were protesting. And I remember as a little kid, I grew up in upstate New York in Cornell University. And students at the Ivy League schools were amongst the first to start taking over buildings and stuff. And they mostly did sit-ins. And it would draw media attention. And this is in the three-channel universe. Newspapers were king. And they get newspaper coverage. And we know from history, we know from LBJ's words and tapes of LBJ and Nixon. We know from history of witnesses to the same that if not for the students' protests, it's unclear what would have happened with Vietnam. But they precipitated the end of Vietnam. They shed a light on the fact that Vietnam was a disaster. So I have often said, on this show, I've said it to you. I said, people don't protest like they used to. It's a constitutional right to assemble. And people don't protest like they used to. Because how annoying is it on a Friday night if a bunch of people go to get into traffic on Michigan Avenue or on, you know, we've seen protests on the Kennedy or on the Eisenhower.
All the time. All the time.
So once again, we're not talking about that kind of protest. We're talking about kids.
Right.
Kids getting it done.
Right. And having an agenda and having a point and organizing.
And even having a time limit on it.
Exactly.
So tomorrow for 17 minutes starting at 10 o'clock, the majority of schools are allowing kids to do an organized walkout. We've also heard from some schools this morning who are doing an organized stay-in, mm-hmm, where kids are hooking arms in the hallway.
Right. And then some students in Plainfield are going to try to meet with some lawmakers that they've invited to their school afterwards.
This is a good one, too. 630 Glencrest Middle School. This is middle school now. These are the younger kids. Middle school is having the kids write their congressional reps about their views and incorporating the discussion into the day as well. Because you're getting the kids in middle school in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade to talk about it because they're headed for high school.
Yeah.
708, if penalizing these great kids somehow justifies superintendents' importance or salaries, why not just ask the kids to give one The text cut off. What a shock. Recess, maybe? I'm not quite sure what this is. But anyway, I get the point of the text.
But honestly, like you to your point, what you just said at the very start, this is organized. This isn't a melee or let's riot, anything of that sort. This is very organized.
Yeah.
They're going through protocol.
And the hippies in the 60s were all interested in blowing stuff up. Yeah. Dave, you remember?
I remembered very well.
But those kids did make a change. Those kids in the 60s, they did force change.
Yeah, they were
forced change. And no, then obviously they were. Yeah. They forced change in civil rights. They forced change in Vietnam. And I just feel like this one's different. I remember, when the shooting happened in Connecticut, and those little children, little first and second graders, 5 and 6 year olds, kindergartners and first graders, 5 and 6 year olds were shot and killed. That to me felt as bad or worse than I felt on 9/11.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just babies. It's just a lunatic, a mental patient, literally a mentally ill, incredibly twisted kid himself, kills his own mother, walks into Newtown and into the school and shoots these little kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Obama. Remember Obama was tearing up when he was talking about it?
Oh, my gosh. That was a story even as a journalist that makes you cry.
And they couldn't get anything done on guns then.
Yeah.
These kids aren't asking you not to pursue and to enforce the laws that are on the books. Of course you should. We saw a tragic effect of laws not being enforced here when 4-time felon kills Commander Paul Bauer.
Oh, my God. It was a horrendous story.
So you have to enforce the laws that are already on the books. But yes. No one will ever be able to convince me that full and complete and efficient background checks, ending of bump stocks, raising the age limit to buy a gun, that they're not all good ideas. They are.
And banning assault weapons and having only police, military.
And limiting the size of clips.
Exactly. And vests.
Because literally what happens is, it's going to happen again.
Yeah.
You know it's going to happen again. But somebody goes into one of these schools with an assault weapon, they can kill more people.
Right.
It's just math. The more firepower they have and the more ammunition they have, the more people are going to die. It was the case in Las Vegas.
Oh, sure.
So we've had 3 of the most deadly school shootings. Not school shootings, most deadly mass murders since Donald Trump was inaugurated. And Trump, I'm impressed with the governor of Florida, who I never had much faith in. He stepped up and he forced laws in a very Republican state to change.
Right.
It's not perfect, but he made a change. Trump said to an assembled group of legislators 10 days ago, however long ago it was, it's hard to keep track in this circus. But Trump said, you guys are afraid of the NRA. I'm not afraid of the NRA. And what happened was, met with the NRA and backed off on all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he is fond of creating a distraction when the heat is on him. He asked for Rex Tillerson to resign last Friday and then finally fired Tillerson today. Or that's the story the White House is leaking.
That's correct.
That he asked for his resignation. Tillerson hasn't said that.
No, Tillerson says the president hasn't talked to him.
Right.
He didn't know that he was fired. He didn't hear directly from the president.
But we got 2 stories here now. So The Hill and other places reporting that Rex Tillerson was unaware and is unaware of the reason behind his dismissal. He found out he was fired after seeing President Trump's tweet announcing that he was out. Classy. Quote, the secretary had every intention of staying because of the critical process and progress made in national security, Undersecretary of State Steve Goldstein said. The secretary did not speak to the president, is unaware of the reason, but he is grateful for the opportunity to serve and still believes the public service is a noble calling. We wish Secretary-designate Pompeo well, the letter concludes. So we'll hear from Tillerson at some point.
Yes.
In greater detail.
Sure.
But while that was going on, and these may or may not be unrelated, or related, I should say. President Donald Trump's personal assistant, John McEntee, was escorted out of the White House yesterday. The cause of the firing, unspecified, but listed as an unspecified security issue. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders declined to comment. Tuesday morning, the Trump campaign issued a statement saying that Mr. McEntee will join the 2020 effort as a senior advisor. Well, if he's fired for a security issue, why would he be involved in a reelection campaign? McEntee was one of the longest serving aides to Trump, dating back to the earliest days of the campaign, when some of the only aides were Kushner and his daughter and his sons. Hope Hicks is due to leave any day. The question is, who's next?
You know, you said one time the only person who he would never fire or get rid of would be Ivanka.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even Eric Trump at this point is saying probably.
Yeah, well, his sons are not involved, technically not involved.
Right.
I believe he would fire both of them.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too. I don't think anybody in this administration, from the ground all the way up to, obviously now, Rex Tillerson, has any job security.
There's very positive feelings about Pompeo and how he has handled himself at the CIA. The CIA, by the way, whose intelligence from some of the finest professional good guy minds in the world, the CIA was intelligence was trampled on yesterday by the Republican House Intelligence Committee members saying, no, they know better. The Russians really weren't interested in helping get Trump elected. Washington has never been more of a circus. And the buck stops with Trump. He's the leader of that circus. What happens the rest of the day? I don't have a clue. I don't know. Who knows? You don't know hour to hour what's going on.
Nope.
And you know what? I don't even know that he does. Whenever anybody starts talking about his strategy, he doesn't have any strategy. He gets up in the morning and it's ready, fire, aim.
Exactly.
And did you see does anybody remember the background on the new CIA director, the woman who's been picked?
Oh, you talked about this a little earlier, Steve. Yeah.
According to a report, she was part of the torture cover-up, remember, during the Bush administration. Her name is on top of a bunch of secret orders, and some of that was destroyed by Congress before it was given to Congress. Congress had ordered to see some of that stuff. Remember those documents?
Did she leave the government, or did she stay in after that?
She was kicked out. She was fired.
So she was brought back by either Pompeo or the Trump people?
Correct.
You can't make it up, man. You just can't make it up. It's 9:23. We fully support these kids tomorrow. Have a great, safe 17-minute push, and don't let that be the last of it.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Joe Romano, technical producer of the program. Joe, this is a band called the Ohio Players. And the song is called Love Roller Coaster.
Yeah, I had to look them up.
Yeah, and Joe, this was a big hit about 20 years before your parents had that extra bottle of wine.
Joe, that means...
Joe and a mommy and daddy love each other very much.
Yep, we're good. We're good.
9:28. You must pick one. I only have time for one story. You must pick one.
All right. I think Joe and I should pick today because yesterday you guys
That's fine. Nurse suffers heart attack, saves his own life. Astronaut spends year in space, DNA now different than his twin brother. Or... what's the deal with that tiny pocket on your pants that you can't ever fit anything in? Voting now, Andrea?
I'm saying three.
Yeah, three sounds good. Yeah.
Tiny pocket?
Tiny pocket.
Tiny pocket?
I thought that was four.
No, it's three. You must pick one out of the three.
One of the three.
Yes.
Go pocket.
Tiny pocket.
Tiny pocket.
I like to learn about sewing.
The little pocket on your jeans, your five pocket mm-hmm. jeans.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's it for?
Lipstick.
Nope.
Change.
Nope.
A pocket watch?
Exactly.
No. What?
It was made when people carried pocket watches around by the Levi Strauss Company going back to May of 1873. And the original lot of jeans had the watch pocket in it.
Well, we didn't call them pocket watch, Steve. We called them timepieces.
But the reason you don't find it on suit pants is because you don't find it on suit pants. They put them on these, and that was pretty much the deal. But now you know. The tiny pocket on your five-pocket pants is for your timepiece, your watch, your pocket watch. Mm.
Oh, and the other two. What about the DNA space guy?
The other two were just the headlines. Okay. Nurse saved her own life or his own life when he was having a heart attack by giving himself a shot to the chest. And Scott Kelly and his brother Mark Kelly, one goes to outer space for a year, comes back amongst his physical changes. His DNA is now different.
Wow. Because remember when he came back, he was shorter? He was like a
is he shorter or taller? Shorter?
I thought he was shorter. We should ask Rosanna. He's the space guy.
Yeah. He's actually in outer space right now. we'll come back at the headlines next as we continue on CLTV and 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Well, I got me a fine wife. I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on a riddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy. Woo-hoo!
942. Let's say hi again to Big O. Good morning, sir.
Well, good morning to you, and a good day from WGN West in Scottsdale, where it's about 59 degrees at the moment. Another good spring training day.
And this is the time of year at Orion's Western headquarters where snowbirds of all types come from all places.
All over.
But Phoenix is really Chicago South. I've always been amazed at the amount of Chicago folks that end up in Arizona.
Well, I think several years ago I saw a figure that there are 400,000 Chicagoans living in the Valley of the Sun in Phoenix and Scottsdale. 400,000.
Why not? It's beautiful, right?
Yes, why not? So that's why we're getting a lot of the fast food restaurants from the Chicago area moving out here. And I tell you what, I'll tell baseball visitors right now, if you're coming out planning to go to dinner, make reservations because restaurants are packed.
It's a good problem for those restaurant folks to have.
It is. And, you know, it's a very seasonal thing. It's interesting. I have found over the years, because we have had a home out here since 1992, and I have found the mortality rate of restaurants fascinating, because you leave in the springtime when the heat of the summer moves in, and then when you come back in the fall, restaurants that were here are no longer here because they didn't save up during the time of the season they make money, which is now.
You know, I've been offered through the years several opportunities to buy in on restaurants, be a partner in restaurant ventures, and it's you know, if you're a public figure, a celebrity of any sort, you know, it's good for restaurant folks to have you tied to it.
Right.
That's the great benefit of any measure of celebrity, is maybe you can get a table at a restaurant. But it's a tough business. It's a tough business.
It really is.
Narrow profits. And until you really make it, you really are working your tail off.
Well, that's why the two that we like and probably go to more than any other, one of them has been in business, I think, 35 years, and the other one in business about 40. So they have the formula, and they know what they have to do during the off season to save money for the season when they make their money. So I want
to talk to you about NAFTA for a second, because the president, as you probably heard this morning, has fired Rex Tillerson.
Right.
And, you know, another day, another scandal or another big news thing whipped up. There seems to be a sense that the president is doing what he wants, when he wants, and no longer listening to anybody else.
Well, in some ways, he's dealing as a businessman who is a traitor and who goes after the best deal. Yeah.
So, but my point, my larger point here, I guess, is because he's not listening to advisors, many of whom would say, yeah, be careful about blowing this NAFTA thing up. I'm concerned that he may sooner than later. So what is the impact on farming here and abroad if NAFTA goes away?
Well, if NAFTA goes away, and you know, it was created when Bill Clinton was president back in the 90s, and I think it's worked very well for all three participants ever since. You've got Mexico on the south, and you've got Canada on the north, and then you've got us in the middle. And NAFTA has worked. Yeah, there have been some problems with the content of automobiles built in Mexico and in Canada, but all in all, it has worked, and it's worked well for agriculture, because when you look at the numbers, about 70% of the agricultural trade takes place between the three countries. Canada and Mexico, for example, exports about 70% of their agricultural products into this country. On the other hand, Mexico is the biggest importer of pork from the United States, and they're also importing a lot of corn. So trade is vital, as I've said over and over again. It's vital to agricultural policy. And as I talk to Sonny Perdue, Secretary of Agriculture, I get the sense that he is working very hard, maybe not publicly, but very hard to convince the president that blowing up NAFTA is not the thing to do. But again, as in so many cases, the president comes out with his initial statement saying, we're going to blow up NAFTA. Well, then a week later, he says, we're going to renegotiate NAFTA. And so, yeah, you try to keep up with what he means. And a group of farmers now going to buy $500,000 worth of TV ads in Washington and in Florida to inform the president that the free trade is important to agriculture. Whether or not he watches, we'll find out, but at least they're going to try. The other thing that is making news this morning, and that probably is more concerned than all of the policy we've got going today, is the fact that for about 3 months we have been talking about the soybean weather problems in Argentina, and the fact that they're not getting moisture and the crop is suffering. Yesterday, they reported the Argentine soybean crop is dead on arrival because they said with the lack of rainfall, with the heat that they've had there, they have now declared the soybean crop in Argentina as dead. And they're not looking for any increase or recovery in soybean yields hit by a four-month drought that shows no signs of giving up. So we do have to concern ourselves, yes, with trade, but also with weather, which we, well, maybe we don't have any more control over weather than we do trade. I don't know.
Orin, I want to ask you, bringing it back to the tariffs on steel, the auto industry here, a lot of people locally celebrating Granite City. They're going to reopen some of their plants as well. Overall, is this good or bad, do you think, imposing a tariff on steel?
Well, again, tariffs to me have never made sense. Trade embargoes have never made sense because of the international implications of it. I don't like the idea of putting a 25% tariff on steel, a 10% tariff on aluminum, because it distorts the natural trade picture of products that are made from steel and from aluminum. Whether or not it's going to create a lot more jobs in the United States, I'm not certain that it will, but for the time being, we're going to be talking about it a great deal. And but my feeling on embargoes, you know, we had an embargo when Jimmy Carter was president back in the early 80s when because of the dealing of this, well, what was then the Soviet Union, we placed an embargo on wheat trade with Russia. And the only problem with doing that is we weren't the only country producing wheat. And if you don't totally control the production of the commodity or the crop, then an embargo isn't going to work. First time I went to Cuba, I remember vividly that, you know, we couldn't travel into Cuba and we couldn't trade with Cuba. On the airplane going down, sat next to the chairman of ADM, and he said, you know, every day ships carrying everything Cuba needs passes within 90 miles of Cuba, but we can't stop and we can't trade. And as long as I think there were 15 different international airlines flying into Cuba at the time, they were importing their soybeans from Brazil and South America. They were importing their pork and their chicken from France. They were importing their coffee and rice from Vietnam. As long as you don't control totally the product, it's not going to make a difference.
It's Big O. He's covering the West Coast. Well, he keeps an eye on the great Midwest. And nothing aggravates me more. Okay, well, listen, a lot of things aggravate me.
Wait, rephrase that.
But when I hear national media refer to the flyover states, there are people of all kinds in every part of this country.
Absolutely. Right.
There's rural folks and city folks on the East Coast and the West Coast, just like there is in Illinois and in Missouri and in Texas and in Oklahoma. It's just it's a dismissal thing that the media does about the East Coast and the West Coast.
Well, that's because the media is based in the West Coast and on the East Coast, and they tend to forget the fact.
Well, you're Orion Samuelson. Fix it. You're Orion.
I will.
Yes,
okay,
make a call.
Illinois is a perfect example of a state, though. Big city here. Mm-hmm. If you go south of I-80, central Illinois, southern Illinois, very agriculture heavy.
And some of the most beautiful farms you'll ever see.
Absolutely.
Agriculture is the most basic industry in Illinois because we trade so much. I think two out of every four soybean acres go to countries outside the United States. And how many times have you heard me say 95% of the world's population lives outside the United States?
And they eat, so don't they eat? I think they eat.
Yes, they do. And we can't consume everything produced by America's farmers and ranchers.
That's
are too good at what they do.
Orion can fix it all, but he doesn't have all day. You know, he's got stuff he needs to do, too. So fix whatever you can and get back to us.
I'm going up to a cattle ranch later this week, and I'll get the word from the ranchers up there on what's going to happen to the beef industry. Yeah, I'll fix it.
All right, get back to us. There you go. That's Orion Samuelson, the fixer. It's 9:53. Bill and Wendy coming up at 10. Steve Cochran Show continues. Rex Tillerson outside with a sign that says, "Will Secretary of State for Food." Bill and Wendy coming up. And also, we almost ran out of time, but the good news is we didn't. Coming up next, the story of Dave's flat tire, right after this on 720 WGN. Before we get to Dave's story, there's always breaking news. Sun-Times is reporting that Governor Rauner is going to veto the Paul Bauer gun licensing of dealers bill that's out there. It's one of the Paul Bauer name measures.
Right.
I am not quite sure that that's going to help his race. All right, so Dave, Dave had a flat tire, Bill. Wendy, Dave had a flat tire.
Are you all right, Dave?
So I'm fine. We're a little late, so
What happened?
I came out of the station yesterday, and I went down to the parking lot. I normally park next to Wendy.
All right, I slashed it. Sorry.
And I
gang flashback.
I pulled out of the lot. Got onto Kinsey Street over here, and all my light came on, said, get air in the tire now. I pulled back into the lot because I know I'm not going to make it.
Were you down to the thud-a-dump?
I was. Oh. Not totally on the rim, so I don't have a spare, but I have a can of Fix-A-Flat and a little generator in my trunk.
Go with the generator.
And so both Chris Bowden and Dave Zaslowski, who's our White Sox producer, come along, and they see me working on this tire, and they're helping me out. They're very helpful.
Right.
Chris says, "Hey, well, we'll just change the tire. I don't have a spare." So anyway, I was able to
get a lot of cars don't come with them now.
No.
Is that true?
Yeah,
a little,
that is true.
It's true.
That's why I had the can of Fix-A-Flat, which did do a whole lot of good, but I was able to get about half hour out of the city. And until it finally went flat again.
So how'd you get home?
I stopped into a mall, and I pumped some more air into the tire and got it to by the place I take it in my neighborhood, which is also where Steve takes his car. Steve Bertrand.
They're the best.
Rich and the guys at Deerfield Auto and Tire.
This is probably not a good time to tell you this. We're late.
What?
Probably not a good time.
Oh, do it, Steve.
Should I bring it up?
You should do it.
Anyway, they found a big bolt in the tire.
Oh.
Wendy put bolts out.
Wendy.
Joe, you like Joe.
Right.
Aren't you happy with Joe?
Joe parks right behind me.
Do you like Joe, don't you? I do like Joe.
Hey, buddy.
You're happy with Joe?
Yep.
Joe, what did you hear on the way in yesterday?
So I heard some hissing on the way in. I'm not going to lie. And I actually checked my tires and checked Dave's tires. And I was like, where is that coming from? And then I heard that you had a flat tire. And
so in other words, Joe knew at 5 a.m. your car's tire
was
going flat.
Are you serious?
I'm totally serious.
That makes the story
Why not give
fun.
Him a heads up a little bit, like Dave, just in case?
Well, I went close to each tire, and I couldn't hear the hiss any louder. So I couldn't tell where it was coming from.
Hey, and he's got a show to produce. He had to get up here. You don't want to deal with me.
Joe, who's the guy who got you back to GM?
That would be Mr. Dave Ennett.
Thank you.
And you did it on four wheels.
Who's going to get him out of GM?
Joe, come on.
The confession is important. That's good.
Can I just say Dave Ennett has fixed my tire before with his Fix-A-Flat as well?
It's not good. Don't put the Fix-A-Flat.
No, we didn't use Fix-A-Flat on yours.
What
did we use? Jell-O.
Just the generator.
Yeah, grape Jell-O.
Generator, sorry.
John Williams jumped me once.
That's not for air.
Take that, Nick DiGilio.
That is not for air.
My battery died. People.
Come on.
We've done enough. Here's Wendy.